The real estate news seems to bounce back and forth between finding bad actors to blame for housing problems and the affordability crisis, which they use as a term kind of like COVID or some virus or cancer-like thing that exists out in the ether and has to be avoided. But there's a simple explanation, and we're going to go through that step by step today. At the end, I'm going to show you a graph that documents exactly what is the affordability crisis and why it's being mislabeled. I'm Bill Gross, and welcome to my weekly real estate market update. I'm available at at Bill Gross Probate on social media. Before we get into the news, let's start off with looking at the actual data of what's happening in our economy. And I always start off with the fact that there's in an economy, there's two parts, there's two axes to an economy. There's the buyers and the sellers. There's the demand and supply in an economy. In real estate, the buyers are the demand side, and they're really driven by interest rates. Interest rates again closed this week, down slightly at 7.08%. So it's been the above 7 but below 7.25 so far for most of the new year. If you look at the trend line, it's been about this range for about most of the last year. This is a range where the market is has enough incentive, buyers are interested enough that there's more buyers than sellers. And so we still naturally have more of a seller's market. Now on the seller side, the supply side is inventory. And that's determined by how many houses are for sale. And this year we're actually tracking exactly the same as last year. About 500,000 properties are for sale nationally, which is more than the other pandemic years, but below any other non-pandemic year in history, about half as much as most. So we still have very tight inventory by most criteria, and that lack of supply causes less choices for buyers and limits how many houses can be sold in any given year. As long as there's limited inventory, there can't be a housing price crash, but housing prices can only go up, maybe moderately or maybe flat. In Los Angeles, because the market is very, real estate is a very localized market, we continue to be in a slight seller's market. I use Altos Research, and they have a ranking system, and they show Los Angeles at a 40, which is about the same as it's been for a while. It's been this range mostly for the past few months. And overall, you can see the price per square foot has actually gone up now, $850 per square foot. It tells you that the cost to buy an average square foot of home in Los Angeles is rising and high by historic standards. So we still have in Los Angeles a seller's market. It's not a tremendous seller's market like 2 years ago, but overall is still pretty solid. So real estate news, as we go through that, nonstop, you're going to find your information being leaked by companies who take responsibility to protect your data and then violate that responsibility really with no consequences. The latest one is loanDepot. loanDepot says about 17 million customers, that's 120 Americans, it sounds like a lot to me, I don't know, had their personal data and social security numbers stolen during a cyber attack. Now, this is particularly bad because mortgage companies have very deep records on customers. It's not just your name, your number, your phone number, you'll get a bunch of robocalls. They have all your personal information, which is ideal for people who want to steal your identity. When you look through the article, they basically admit that that was the amount of data that was taken, and they say that customers' data stolen included, Here you go. Names, date of birth, email, postal address, account numbers, phone numbers, social security numbers, the whole gamut, loanDepot. The thing that's even more troubling about loanDepot is that many loans go to them on a wholesale basis, meaning a mortgage broker took the package to them. So even if a customer knew loanDepot was hacked, they wouldn't know that they individually were hacked. These hacks went back in October and November. We're just now finding out about them because they don't have to report them for a few months. It goes to a state regulatory system. The bottom line is these companies do not handle our data responsibly. We turn it over to them, expect them. They have all kinds of, you know, security that makes it hard for us to work with. And then the data just runs out the back door, almost like they're getting paid to do it. And almost all of them are irresponsible, and none ever seem to be held to account any reason at all. Okay, here's another interesting story I found. Goldman Sachs, one of the axes of evil in our economic system, is projecting housing prices to continue to go up 5.5% this year, 2024. 4.4%, 4.9, 4.9 in 2027. Rest assured, if they are projecting housing prices to go up, They're saying inflation overall is going to go up, and indeed they're expecting over 3% next year. And so housing continues to be a great place to hedge against inflation for the average American. Certainly the big Wall Street companies know that, and they take advantage of it. And, you know, I'd love to help you do the same thing. I'm doing the same thing myself by investing in real estate. File under the government programs almost always backfire because the people making decisions are morons. Here's a case in New York City where they cracked down on Airbnbs, and the data would suggest that it's backfired. Airbnbs were thought to think sucking up inventory that people might otherwise want to live in. Turns out it was competition for hotels, but those are units that otherwise would come off the market. These are owned by people who don't want to rent out, given the difficult rental market in New York in particular, like in Los Angeles. And so here's a guy, Taylor Jones, who goes through the data and points out that rents went up over the year over year. But what's happened is that there's no more inventory. In fact, inventory for rentals went down after this ban on Airbnb properties. And what really happened was less people went to use Airbnb for tourists. And as a result, lower tourism is continuing to hurt New York City. So again, when you have government officials who've never bought or sold real estate telling you how they want to change their housing policies because they know and improve things, almost always those turn out to go backwards and not work out for you. One of the worst sources of information, I think, traditionally has been Redfin. I've quoted them regularly and did a podcast on them as well. This week, their contribution or their misinformation is boomers aging in place are the driving force, doubling homeowner tenure and keeping housing inventory turnover low. Now, what they're saying is people like me who raised our family in this house for 20 years, that we should be moving out, like to some adult community where we play golf and tennis. Instead, we live in a neighborhood with friends, family that we've known for, you know, for all that time. Our daughter lives nearby. Our grandkids live nearby. We love living in this community. We love being around our neighbors. We love having our children and grandchildren come by. Redfin seems to think that's inconvenient because if we moved out, there'd be more inventory for people to rent. And so I don't know if that's necessarily changing or getting worse. There's a lot of factors that go into this. But it just seems to me that pushing people out of houses they bought isn't really the goal. And maybe we should be adjusting for that or encouraging that and finding ways to make that work overall. Again, Redfin, like everybody, does not want to talk about building more housing. It's always somebody else's problem stopping the homeowner. It's never the government policies restricting housing. And this is just another example, a really poor one, I think, reflecting poorly on Redfin again. Speaking of reflecting poorly on a big company, Rocket Mortgage, one of the top lenders in the country, shut down the origination program for real estate agents. Excuse me. Now, this is behind the paywall at Housing Wire, so I'm not going to pay for it. But what it tells you, this is a program that Rocket Mortgage came up with so real estate agents could steer customers to get mortgages and they could get paid while they're selling a house. Well, there's two problems with that. One is in my state, California, we're not allowed to steer them. We're supposed to give the buyer the best advice for financing for a home. Isn't that really what we want? Isn't giving Rocket Mortgage, allowing them to pay off realtors to send loans to them, doesn't that just smack of a monopoly using its bullying power rather than competing for the customer's best interest? And the other part that's not stated, and I experienced this, is to learn those two industries is impossible. I mean, my license allowed me to do real estate, and I did mortgages and occasional sale, and I realized I couldn't do both competently. And I'm a smart guy. I'm a hard worker. I learn a lot, and I couldn't do both. And I think that what Rocket Mortgage Program allowed was really incompetent realtors to be incompetent mortgage lenders and get paid money most. And I'll tell you this, I've never met a successful person who did both. I mean, a lot of people who struggled who did both. I don't remember anybody who's any good who did both. And so the end of this program, I think, is good for consumers overall. And goodbye, Rocket Mortgage's real estate agent payoff program. Another piece of the news where our state government is involved in real estate and, again, showing their competence. This article caught my attention. Blackstone owes the University of California system over $560 million. And when you read the article, it turns out that when Blackstone bid for the right to invest our taxpayer money, I'm a taxpayer in California, right? And so the government officials use our tax dollars that should be invested, our pensions and things like that. They use it as a way to get political donations. So here's a case where Blackstone promised the state of California an 11.25% annual return over 6 years. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know of any program that guarantees you 11.25% over 6 years that's not very risky. And it hasn't turned out to be a complete mess like this is getting ready to. And you wonder, well, why is the press not talking about it? Why is the government not concerned about $560 million in losses? And the answer is because Blackstone contributes a lot of money to the government officials in California, which are all Democrats. And this is the destructive force of one-party rule in California. As long as these guys pay off politicians with campaign donations, which are legal, not to worry that taxpayers don't get a fair return on their investments. That's just kind of how it goes for taxpayers. And so we have these government officials who know nothing about real estate investing making these decisions that turn out to be bad for its residents. Speaking of bad policy, here's one that caught my attention also. In California, of course, new California bill would make illegal immigrants, I guess now President Biden calls them newcomers, illegal immigrants eligible for first-time homebuyer loans. So imagine this. California has a problem where the average Californian can't buy a house. So the state of California, a collection of morons and flunkies who could never get a real job, but are politicians, say, well, we'll just tax our citizens and we'll create a loan program and we'll give loans to people who otherwise can't afford it. It sounds good. Doesn't ever really work. They've been doing this my entire career. But now California is saying, rather than have those loans go to taxpayers and Californians, we'll offer them to anybody who comes from anywhere in the world and comes here illegally across the border and says they want it. They're all eligible too. Well, how does that help Californians afford housing? And the answer obviously is not. When you have 7 billion people, 6 billion living below our poverty line, they're just going to keep coming and competing for these services. I found this one to be crazy. Now you might say, but Bill, this is a proposal, it's not a law yet. And I would say two things. One, continually these proposals that are crazy end up being passed 6 months later. Last year, Governor Newsom bragged he signed 60 real estate related bills in October last year. Who knows what's in any of them? This kind of stuff ends up in these bills because it works out for politicians along the way. The fact that this proposal wasn't laughed out of town tells you how crazy things are in the state of California. They're crazy and they're getting crazier. Now, the LA Times, the failing LA Times, the nearly bankrupt LA Times, had a great misinformation article this week. Forget California exodus, New Jersey residents lead an influx back into the Golden State. Now, this is kind of like a third grader. You know, when you call somebody, stupid, I'm not as stupid as you are. Basically, what the LA Times is saying is that as bad and dysfunctional as California, now California has so many resources. We have the weather, we have the mountains, we have deserts, we have so much beauty in California that a few states are so bad that more people still want to move here, despite all those resources. Of course, the government being bad, the taxes being high, and the economy being bad. And so what they're saying goes, well, they're not that bad. I mean, 43 states Californians are fleeing to. 7 states are actually so bad that they would come to California to avoid living in New Jersey, Illinois, Maryland, and a couple others. I mean, the fact that they would put this as a defense tells you how bad things are in California. Of course, if you live in a overtaxed, overregulated, poor economy in New Jersey, why not move to California, at least have better weather? So we already have a handicap. Of course, people want to move here. My whole life, the first 25 years, people moved to California in huge numbers. It's only the last few years we've had millions of people move out, primarily taxpayers. And here the LA Times comes up with, well, things are worse in New Jersey. They've always been worse in New Jersey. Why would that possibly be a positive for the state of California? And I think the answer is the one thing that politicians and the news does not weigh in look at, they want to call it the housing affordability crisis. They want to talk about boomers overstaying the welcome. They want to talk about investors buying houses. What they don't want to talk about is the single fact that makes our housing economy what it is. And that is the gap between income rising and housing prices rising. And this graph hit it on the mark. This was from, I saw it online. It's from Visual Capitalist. They do a great job on graphs, really pretty. Since 1984, so I started in real estate in 1986. 1984 to 2022, so a little over a year ago. The average income in America went from 22,000 to 74,000, which is about tripling. The average house went from 78,000 to 433,000, which is up by 5.5 times. And that gap, why would houses that are paid for presumably by citizens, why would they go up in price more than the average income? And the answer is inflation makes assets worth more and dollars worth less. And so while we talk about our salary, it's only what you can buy with your salary that makes a difference. And if you buy, if you price your salary in gold, you'd have seen your actual wages go down. But because of inflation, you know, people feel like they're making more money when they get a salary bump. But if your salary bump doesn't keep up with inflation, you're actually falling behind. And this graph shows that the average American, not only can they not buy a house, look at the graph, how it's steep on the housing prices for the last, 20, 30 years. It's getting worse faster. The problem is not housing. The problem, the fundamental problem, is our economy. Too much taxes, too much regulation, not enough growth, too much manufacturing being done overseas and not here in America, not enough high-paying jobs here in America. Those are the issues that nobody wants to talk about, because it's much easier to talk about, baby boomers should be moving into adult communities than it is to look at the actual structure of the economy. So what do you think? Put your comments down below. Let me know what you think. Hey, I have a separate podcast called Real Estate Ripoffs, where I take one company at a time. This upcoming week, we're going to talk about Bank of America. In the past, we've talked about Chase. We've talked about Redfin, Zillow. Let me know if you're interested in that podcast. Same places where you see this video as well. Please like this, subscribe. If I can help, reach out to me. As always, make today your best day ever. Thank you so much.